Good morning. Honorable members, good morning.
Morning, Chairperson.
I'm told to call is on the study leave. Who's recording on behalf of Kholiso? Tabelo?
Yes, Chairperson.
Who's recording on behalf of the committee? Who's the secretariat here?
I just called the commissioner. She told me that KC is standing in for her chair.
Okay. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning. Morning,
Can
Chair.
we
flag? Yes, thank you, Sister Nancy. Can we flag the agenda? Casey, can you flag the agenda?
Morning, Chair.
Morning, Sabelo. Can you
Yes,
flag
Chair.
the agenda?
Chair, I don't have the agenda, Chairperson. But I know what the meeting is about. If it's necessary, I can just
But you said there is somebody who sits on behalf of Kholiso. Why is not flagging the agenda?
I have no idea, Chairperson. I tried to call Kholiso now, but her phone is off. So I'm trying to find out who this person is, and I'm not getting help, Chair.
Who has opened this meeting? Who's manning the system?
I don't know, Chair. I know that I'm being co-hosted, Chair. I'm a co-host, sorry.
Honorable members, can you give some few minutes? I must call the Mr. Bandy, who's responsible for committee section, just to check what's happening.
Okay, Chair. Okay, Chair.
Morning. Who's this person who's flagging the agenda? Can you please talk to us? We must know who are you.
Hi, Chairperson. I just help. I'm Selina. Otherwise, I don't know what's
Oh.
happening. Otherwise, I'm just coming now.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Hi, Mr. Bandy, how are you? Okay, good morning to you. Who's standing on behalf of Kholiso? Kholiso told us that he's on study leave.
Yes, it's going to be two people.
Who are those? Because they were in a meeting, they don't respond, we don't know who are they. And...
Christine Aidu is going to assist with the minute.
Okay.
I said who assisted with opening the meeting. I'm trying to remember the name. It's Selina. She's supposed to open the meeting.
Selina is my PA.
Yes. Just setting up the meeting and taking care of issues of registers in which members in apology.
Okay, Ken Naidoo is the one that is going to capture the minutes.
Yes, that is Katie Naidoo.
Katie Naidoo. Coordinator.
Yes, committee assistant.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, good morning, honorable members. I'm told the Kate Naidoo, who's the committee assistant, is the one that is going to stand on behalf of Koliswa, and Selina, my PA, is the one that is manning the system. There is the agenda, honorable members. I'll take this opportunity to welcome honorable members and invite honorable members to observe a moment of silence for meditation or prayer. Thank you very much. That note, I'm going to ask honorable members to adopt the agenda. Can I get the mover for the adoption of the agenda?
Chairperson?
Yes, honorable Mandisa.
Before I move, I just want to bring to your attention, we have an alternative member who's part of the meeting from the EFF. Is Kaya, Honorable Kaya Kaisa, is part of the meeting as the alternative. Now, I think we are going to send, they send organization, they have sent a correspondence to the secretariat yesterday. I'm not sure whether they do receive now the letter, but he's part of the meeting today.
Okay.
Okay. I move if there's nothing. I want to
thank you very much, Honorable Mandisa. Honorable Mr. Kaya, you are welcome. Honorable Sikwai?
Did I hear you about the apologies? Are they still coming?
No, they're still coming.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Honorable Mandisa has moved for the adoption of the agenda. Can I have the seconder?
Sifai seconded.
Sifai seconded. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Chair.
Thank you very much. As I've already welcomed honorable members, we have spent the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks of our time assessing and interrogating the annual report of the department as part of the PRRR. Today we are, in terms of the agenda, we have to adopt the report. I'm going to invite Sabelo to take us through the report. Sabelo?
Morning, Chair. And
maybe just to, before Sabelo, maybe just to apologize that Ukoliswa has she's on study leave, so we don't have the minutes. That's why they were not circulated, because of the rules of the committee that we have to have the enough time to go through the document. I've seen in my gadgets, I've not received any minutes, so we'll just deal with the report. And I've told Swavelo have circulated the report on Monday for every members to go through it. So we'll have to postpone the minutes because the Kolisa is not here. Sabelo, before you come in, let me take the apologies, if there is any apologies. Selina, do you have any apology? Selina?
No, Chair. I didn't get any apology.
Okay. Mr. Naiju, do you have any apology?
Chair, we only have the standing apology for Advocate Masuta. He'll only be back next year, sir. Other than that, Chair, no other apologies. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. can we then proceed, Sabelo, to take us through the report?
Okay. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members. And once again, good morning. I'm going to take you through the BRRR report, and the purpose of the report is to reflect on the performance of the department and provide observations and recommendations to Parliament. Okay, so the report was sent to members about 2 days ago. So I think the approach would be to go page by page. If members have got comment in, for instance, in page one, then I'll write the comment in red so that they can see that I've taken their comment, and then I will edit the work thereafter, if that's okay with you, Honorable Chair. Okay, so, Honorable Members, this is the page one, which deals with the introduction.
We don't see the report here, Sabelo.
You don't see it? Okay. It says it's sharing from my side, so can you see it now, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, so this is page number one. It deals with the introduction, the legislative mandate of the department, and also the approaches to achieving the MTSF targets. It also, part of the page one deals with the mandate of the department, of the committee, which falls on to page number two. That is dealing with legislation and dealing with international agreements and other budget issues that fall under the committee or the and then the section was after that deals with the mandate of the
department. Can you wait? This is the report. I don't want us to leave members behind. Members, do you want Sabelo to present this report word by word, or the way he's doing it, you are fine, Honorable Members?
Okay,
Honorable, who's that? Honorable, yes.
My icon sometimes has got a disablement. Sorry for shouting. I think Sabelo is correct, because We did receive the report, and by virtue of that, we have made our notes. And Sabelo is going page by page. I would think that to minimize time, he must do that, and then we yourself, Chair, you lead us to have our comments as we'll be noting the report since we received the report 3 days ago.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Doctor.
Thanks, Chair. I don't have a problem with how Sabelo suggested we do this because I'm definitely not a fan of having things read to me. But I think as long as there's allowance for us to make comments, because I didn't go, I mean, I read and then I made my comments. So I'm not necessarily sure which page all my comments are. I'll try to follow, but I just maybe want to ask that we be allowed to make our comments at the end, even if it's not necessarily, if I've missed it, that it's on page 3, because I'm trying to quickly catch up which pages I took off the comments. So if that will be allowed, then I'm happy with how Sabelo is doing the presentation. Thanks.
Okay. So on page 1, we agree, members. So and then we'll then give an opportunity towards the end if somebody will pick up something as we pass through. Proceed, Sabelo. I'm going to allow Sabelo to do that, and then we'll then later come back to members who wants to raise issues. Sabelo. But those that Sabelo says page 2, you can then shout. Today you are allowed to shout just to say, on page 2, this is what I think should happen. Yeah, Sabelo.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Okay, so as I was saying, page number 2 deals with the mandate of the committee to deal with legislation, considering, working oversight and all the other mandates. And then the following section deals with the mandate of the department, which is to provide housing using housing or human settlements policy. And this is covered in the comprehensive plan of the department, and also is covered in the housing code of the department. And because the code is a framework or a toolkit for programs that the department used to implement the Housing Act. And this is also followed by the Outcomes 8, which is an agreement between departments and the president. And this agreement is also part of the National Development Plan, which talks about the priorities of 2030 to 2050 of the human settlements, and those targets are covered in this section, which is page number 3. And then the following section is the purpose of the BRRR, as I indicated earlier on, that just to put it in a simple language, is that the committee considers the performance of the department and make observations and then provide the recommendations to Parliament. With regards to the methodology of how the report was compiled, the National Development Plan was used, and the medium-term strategic framework was used, the SONA, and then the reports that were provided by the department and entities. Also, to provide, let's say, cross-referencing, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation and the AG provided their their reflection on the department's performance, which was used also to assess the department by the committee. Okay, so this is the NDP vision, which says by 2020, these are the things that should be achieved. And this is the medium-term strategic framework. And also it's got specific things that need to be achieved, such as, you know, your special transformation using several programs, and also the issue of security of tenure, the provision of houses, subsidies, such as your finance linked individual subsidy program, and also your service sites is considered, and also the upgrading of informal settlements. And then the strategic focus of the department is informed by their strategic plan and also the policies that we talked about earlier on. Now this strategic focus are kind of a roadmap onto achieving those national objectives. So NCAD, so one of the anchor for the policy or the framework for the department is SONA. And the SONA gives a strategic focus of the department, and that those focus are listed below, such as your infrastructure project, your title deeds, and the issues of land accessibility. The following is the performance by the department and also the entities. Okay, this is the in page number 8, the allocation and expenditure by the department, and it also breaks down from program by program, and that is a reflection of administration, which is followed by program number 2, program number 3, and then in page number 9 is program number 4, number 5. And then the audit outcomes by the AG. And this is a reflection on the overall AG outcomes, which includes also the entity. And this is followed by the specific achievements by the departments, and then the report on the entities. And on page 10, it deals the reports of the NHBRC. Number 11, it deals with NHFC. Number 12, it deals with the SHRA. Number 14, it deals with the HDA. And number 15, it deals with the PPRA, and then page number 16, it deals with the performance of CISOs. And then perhaps what is important in page number 18 is the reflection by the AG, and it's also important to remind members that the recommendations by the AG were adopted by the committee, and also there's a reflection by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, and the committee noted the presentation. And now on page 19 and up to the end, it deals with the committee observations and recommendations. So with regards to observation number 1, the committee noted the achievements of the unqualified audit outcome by the department and entities, filling in of key positions, the appointment of board members. Yes, Chair.
We are able to finalize, can I get members to make input in the body of the report before we go to the observation? Can we get members to make the input? Members? Honorable Dr. Khumalo and Honorable Mandisa.
Sorry, Chair, can Honorable Mandisa go first? I'm just almost about to talk. I was traveling. I just need to be opening my iPad to check my notes, but I'm almost stopping. Hopefully when she's done, I'll then get in, please. Yeah.
Okay. Honorable Mandisa. Honorable Mandisa.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was not sure whether I'm audible. Am I audible?
Yes, you are now.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether I'm on the right platform, but I wanted to raise the issue of the title deed because I realized they were raised in the SONA of 2023 by the President on the issue of the title deed, and the department also, they've identified that we have also identified that they didn't reach the target. They only managed to issue 25,235 of the title deed. If we can just put, have an observation or an input that they must speed up the process of the title deed because people are confused. There is no clear plan. What are they doing? And another issue, because on the issue of the title deed, I think is the issue of the consequence management that the department through their entities that they are not doing very well because also the entities were raised in the zone. And the performance of these entities that are not doing well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mandis. We have not reached on the observation and recommendation. I wanted the input on the board.
The board. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they are there, those issues that you are raising, but it will then depend whether you think the way it has been put represented your view. I wanted for members to talk into the board. Honorable Dr. Khumalo, the body of the report before we go to recommendation and the...
Thanks, Chair. Maybe I'll just make comments of that, yeah, because I can't read, but I do know that... when I read it, I thought we should include at the beginning of the report, we go through the department. I think it's point number six. As Sabelo, I was trying to pick up as Sabelo was scrolling through the presentation, looking at the department and entities performance. I don't know, subheading, it's not really a heading because it's not numbered, but it refers to several achievements.
Department and the entity's performance, number six, yes.
So underneath there, it refers to the department having reported on several achievements in its provision of sustainable and integrated human settlements, and this includes the following. But under that heading, there's a discussion of not only achievements, but also non-achievements. So my input would be that we have another sentence like that one under six that highlights the non-achieved or the non-achievable or the things that they didn't achieve, so to speak, because there we've said achievements, we talk about what they've achieved, but we also talk about what they haven't achieved under there. So I thought if we can have two separate sections that refers to what was achieved and what wasn't achieved. And then also underneath that same point, Chair, that one is covered. I also thought we need, like title deeds, like Honorable Makatsini says, the expenditure against the targets over the term, that as well. But I think it will also assist us with our recommendation section. But I'm also looking at 7.3.4, Chairperson. I think maybe just to correct the writing there, 7.3.4, so Program 4 on Rental and Social Housing.
Just so it looks like everything else, perhaps it's just an editorial, but on line two, you know, it says of which it spent 906.8 million, full stop, and then 95.7%. So I think the full stop can disappear and be replaced by a bracket, like with the other and or in next to the bracket. So a bracket and or. The word "or" that 95.7%. So that's the other input that I think, or it does need to be fixed. Not I think it needs to be fixed, but it does need to be fixed. I think that's it, Chairperson. From my side, I think the rest of it I will mention when we discuss the recommendations and observations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Doctor, Honorable Butas.
Hey, Chairperson, I'm not sure whether this will be like semantics, but there are a few points that on the budgetary report, on the key objectives. 1.3.
Okay.
Now it's running away. Oh. There's a line that we thought we should start with that says, in line with the aims of the National Development Plan, sir, the objective of the department is to achieve visible results from effectively coordinated, just the phrasing of that sentence. Again, chairs, you go bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That is promoting the participation of women, youth, and persons with disability in human settlement development programs. I hope, but we can forward them after, chair.
Okay.
And I think on item number 7, it says the heading is saying department allocation on MTF allocation expenditure. The sentence there, while expenditure remained high, the performance it had not recovered from its pre-COVID-19 period. So there's a pre-COVID-19 there. That is item number 7. I'll forward you if you don't mind.
Okay, not yet.
And then on item number 7.5, bullet 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. By saying in February 2023, the department launched the first home buyer. Is it FHF? Or it's FHB. Let's just confirm that program as a revamped version of the erstwhile FLISP. Total of 5,000 households received financial assistance, 8,260 off target, 9,700 uninhabitable mud houses were eradicated in the rural provinces of Limpopo, Northwest State. Yeah. So those are the few amendments, Chair. Then we go, I think this one is on recommendation. No. It's housing development, 8.4. In the middle of the sentence, that starts with the during the period under review, the PRA continues instances where debtors were charged interest when there was no resultant debt. The entity, that's a new phrasing, the entity to clear the receivable issues without ensuring that the debtor's balance And I think also the, I'm having it wrong, but the consultant work from the accurate and correct, they're taking the figures, Chair. Yeah, I think that's it, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Any other member?
Yes, Chair. If you'll allow me, please.
Okay.
Also, inconsistency in the body of, I think it's where we talk about the department's performance. The figure we put there is different to the figure we put at the end when we talk about the Auditor General's input reflections by the AGSA. So what we put earlier in the document, I really just haven't been able to pick up the spot, and I've been trying. But earlier we talk about we literally are in the report also doing what happened in that meeting where the department reports that they are sitting at 50 or 60, the general says 58. 50. So I feel like we need to have one, you know, we need to be consistent.
No, the department it was clarified, you remember, on Honorable Doctor, to say that the Auditor General has not included the taxes of the administration. And if they add,
I get
the
that. Part,
yeah, yes.
But then we must fix that in our report as committee. We must reflect one percentage for how the department performed. I think that's my input. I remember clearly the AG saying, and the department also presenting, that they hadn't given the AG what he required to increase the performance, but they had reflected. But I'm saying in our report, we should reflect one percentage in terms of the department's performance. That's the input that I'm making.
How are you going to do that, Doctor?
So when we talk about what the department, so we can put it there in the AG's report, where we, number 9, reflection by the AG, we should put a consistent percent department's performance, as is when we discuss it under the point 6, I think, when we discuss the department's performance. That's so that when anybody reads this report, they understand what's the final or what's the department's performance. If it's 50, then it's 50 throughout the report. We don't say that, we won't say in our report the department, we heard the department say they performed 40%, but the AG says they performed 30%. What I'm saying is we must reflect on that meeting and say the department, we must have accepted one figure in terms of what the department performed. And that's what we must put. This is our report. That's what we must put in our report as a committee. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I'm making sense in my head. I hope I'm being understood.
I thought it was an easier thing to understand, but I've realized it's complicated because we are supposed to have actually, because the department has presented after the AG to say that the AG, he has not actually included the achievement of the administration, was on the core mandate of the department. So in the department, it takes their performance to 68. So as you are raising it, I think we should have actually confirm it with the Auditor General, the reason why he used the call, and probably it has passed all of us in the committee, that because the department presented after the AG, and for us, maybe we should have a way of coining it such that it represented the two issues, or before we finalize the report, we can confirm with the AG on the achievement. We can say.
Okay, Jello Matuba, WhatsApp audio.
Chairperson. Chairperson.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm on number 9 reflections by the Auditor General. There, it says that the committee was briefed in a virtual meeting by the AXA on the audit opinion. It further says that the AXA indicated overall the portfolio achieved an average of 58% of its target. Wouldn't it be much more clearer that we are explained in that sentence as to which targets are those? Because I think that each department must meet the national treasury norms. And what are those norms in terms of the set targets for each department, including this one? I'm new in the committee, Chair, and you bear with me. I didn't have the presentations and everything, but I think that it should form part of the report that the treasury norms in terms of meeting the targets by the department should reflect what the department should have. For instance, at COCTA, it's 95%, you know. So what is it that the department had to, is acceptable norm to reach in terms of their targets, their audit outcomes? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think you are saying that you should edit and Sabelo's edit, it's fine. But the issue that Dr. is raising, there was an issue that when we received the report of the Auditor General, the Auditor General indicated that the department has achieved 58% as you are reflecting it. That's the correct number that the Auditor General has raised. And when the department comes to present after the Auditor General, and the Auditor General was there in the meeting, they said that the Auditor General assessed the core mandate. They've not actually included the administration with their statutory issues. And therefore, if they put those statutory issues, Sabelo? I can't remember the figure, or 69. So that's what Honorable Doctor is saying. The Honorable Doctor is saying we should, as a committee, as we write the report, we should actually raise, we should mention one, we should agree with the one the percentage that we agree as a committee must not differ because it might confuse the person who's actually reading the report. I'm not sure whether we get one another on that one.
Agreed, Chair.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Just to assist I remember that debate. That debate came as a surprise to us in a meeting when AG has met with the department and they came with a report to us. And then the department came to have a slight view on that number. But that slight view was presented by the department in the presence of AG. I would agree with the doctor when he says we had no authority to change what AG has said. It was changed in the meeting in the presence of AG, and the AG was not against that. So I'm saying the last percentage should be the percentage which the department tried to make a perspective to AG in our presence in one meeting. I'm just trying to assist Chair on this debate. Do I make sense, Chairperson?
You are. Any other view? Any other hands on this matter, Honorable Doctor?
Thanks, Chair. I would rather agree with you, Chair, on your earlier suggestion that we haven't spoken about, that we perhaps get the AG to give us confirmation that indeed, because when the department presented, they mentioned that the AG was missing some piece of evidence or something that was not submitted, right? Now, we can't have, yes, the AG was in the meeting, but we haven't had confirmation from the AG that yes, indeed, now we have confirmed, we have re-looked ourselves independently, and this is indeed the department's performance. And I don't think that's necessarily the debate here, but I want to agree with you when you say maybe we should get confirmation from AG in terms of the final performance of the department. And then secondly, Chair, you, in our report, I'm just failing to go back to my notes from the other meetings when we discussed the performance at this point, but going on our report, we say in our report that the department, and you're mentioning 68, but we are in our report, we are saying 62.9% was achieved, which is 27 out of, I don't remember the number, but it's 27. And then the AG says 58%. So I just feel we do need clarity from the AG, like you have suggested, that we get confirmation from them and put in our report where we discuss the department's performance that they achieved 62.9% if that's the amount, or we put the 58% even in the AG's reflections. Because one would argue that, yes, the department then, looks at its performance, submits, and then the AG audits. And that's the final figure that we go by, an audited figure, not the department, not the initial department submission in terms of what they have performed or not performed. So that's where I'm coming from. I basically want to support that idea. But I do think we must reflect one. So nobody should be confused when they read the report in terms of how much, what percentage performance did the department achieve under the year review. Thanks.
Chairperson.
Honorable, you're not.
No, I'm Come asking in. if the doctor refers to the internal audit of the department, and which later on should be scrutinized by the AG, who is a Chapter 9 institution, who then later on brings back the audit to the committee, which is 68, and then after oversight of the committee, then we are confused about what percentage did the AG bring to the committee. It's quite interesting and quite compelling to look at how how did the AG come to the committee and present the 58% later on with all the members present, and later on that particular audit then becomes a confusion. I'm not sure whether the doctor speaks to the issues of the internal audit teams within the department who you know are supposed to do the audit, or even the consultants. The consultants.
Can I help you, honourable member? The issue is, yes, the issue is that when the Auditor General presented,
yes,
he presented that the department has achieved 58%. And when the department came to present the annual report, he presented, honourable doctor, the 268, I might have missed the percentage, but the issue was that the department, when they came and present in the presence of the AG, they said that when the AG audited the department, has not included the statutory issues, like the administration part. He only assessed them based on the core business of the department. And when the department adds out of what the AG assessed them, adds the administration, it then takes them to 68 or 62. I'm not sure of the number. So, and they presented it in the presence of the AG to say, and AG has never said, honourable doctor, that there were issues that he has not found, because when the department presented the AG, they've never said the AG has. They've just said the AG has not audited, has not included, not that has not audited, has not included the achievements on the administration. So that's why I'm saying that with the view that doctor is raising, which is appropriate as far as I'm concerned for the purpose of the person who will be reading the report when we are not there, is to because the AG, the assumption that we made, some of us, was that means that the AG agrees with the department because they were part of the meeting. But we can confirm with the AG before we ATC the report and put the adequate figure there, so that there is no that confusion.
No, I hear you on the assumption, Chair. Thank you very much.
Yes, okay. I'm saying there are issues that we have to put to add to the sense, some of the issues that are missing, not to change the content, but is the missing of some of the words. Where's my notes? For instance, in your report, you have said the aims. Actually, Honorable Zeki has tried to correct it. But the 1.3 then should be the key objective of the department, not the aims. And then you change that sentence, that on I agree with Honorable Zeki in line with the aims of the National Development Plan. And then on the on the department's achievement, I on the issue of the title deed, is just that Sabelo has used the, he has reflected on it. I wanted to read it so that members can actually say whether it's not how the it says where is that the number six achievements. On department and entities performance on the title G, the Sabelo said on the report, efforts were made to issue title deed to beneficiary to ensure security of tenure. However, the performance of this program was notably less than the projected. The department planned to deliver 397,562 title deed, but only 25,235 could be achieved. That is the on the achievement and which responded to the issue, the doctor's issue of the achievement and non-achievement. If you look at even on the site, the upper paragraph, it says a total of 3,871 service sites were delivered during the period, contributing to 1,739 to overall for the MTFS against the target of 3,000 for the MTFS, which is the sentence how Sabelo has put the achievements and the. Maybe we can then say on top of the department's entity, the department and entity performance and non-performance, because the sentence, both of them reflect on the achievement and what department has not achieved. Including you, if you look even at the on the
recording stopped.
The NB and the BNG. It says what the department was supposed to have achieved and what they have achieved and the amount that were not achieved in terms of the MTFS. So we can just add the performance and the non-performance on top of as an item, because the sentence reflects that. On the national blocking project evaluation that were presented.
Recording in progress.
It was 3445 project identified, and then the number, we'll have to verify what was targeted as the department and what has been achieved. So I think we just have to add those issues. Then on 8.2, it's National Housing Finance Institution. It's National Housing. It's NFHC. I think it's, if we write it as the full sentence. Oh, yes. Is there? And then on that one, on the slide where the paragraph on Shra going down towards the rental boycott, we identified towards the last sentence, it must have the, this had a severely impact negatively on the project and the economy. Go down on the criminal, here on criminal gangs comfortably refer as construction legally occupy and take control of the construction sites nationwide. Don't move. Exhorting money from developers. This had a severe impact. I think we should negative impact on the project. Yeah, I just wanted to add that one. So if there is no any other hand, Honorable Mandisa.
No, that's Chairperson. I think on the issue of the title, the issue that I wanted to raise, your input has covered what I wanted to say, because the only thing that is lacking, which means we have identified also the lack of consequence management, because someone is not doing what is supposed to be done, so that we emphasize the issue of us to do our oversight.
Okay. Honorable Doctor and Honorable Sifai, is it legacy hands?
It's a. I want to follow on the issue that you raised, the person, if you are giving me.
Okay.
You raised an issue on the National Housing Finance as a full name, but when in the abbreviation, it does not speak the same. If someone could go back, the National Housing Finance Institution, but the abbreviation is National Housing Finance C. Is it not National Housing Finance Corporation? Why is it C instead of I? I think it's corporation, it's not institution. If perhaps they could clarify that. Thank you, Chair.
With that amendment in the body, can we then go to...
Is the spelling of Sabelo?
I'm going to double check it, Honourable Member.
Okay, all right, sure, thank you.
Go to the observation and recommendation.
Okay.
Maybe, Fabello, just to check, were we not supposed, because it's the assessment, the annual assessment, which includes the work that the committee has done. This is our report to Parliament. Were we not supposed to put even the oversight the report inside the, as part of this BRRR.
Because in the previous
years we didn't do that because we had COVID for 2 years, but the last financial year we had oversight. Is it not supposed to be part of the report?
No, Chairperson, it's the oversight is its own report, Chair.
Okay.
I'm saying the issues identified in the oversight are reported differently, Chair, under the oversight, Chair.
Okay. Okay. But just verify because I don't because the annual report is just when the annual report in my own view reflects the work that the committee has done in terms of assessing the department the entire year, which will then include oversight and the period under review we had oversight and these were the findings of the committee and those recommendations kept being captured within the BRRR so that the department and parliament can then follow them up and see whether those issues are being implemented. But just verify because that's my understanding. Let's go to the observation.
Yes,
Honorable Sufai.
In the previous paragraph, which Sabelo read, which is in page 2 about the mandate of the committee, you are reminding me because one of the issues that is raised in that is that also the BRRR should also look on the oversight role, which means on the oversight programs that we have. So I'm just raising the issue on your concern that we need to verify that because we did have oversight with clear recommendations so that if then that is needed, we're able to address that. That's the mandate of the committee. Perhaps it should not be outside from this report. I'm strengthening your view that says, let's go and look if we have not made a mistake not to include the reports of our oversight. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair, and a very good morning to honourable members and staff. Chair, I just wanted to come in on the point of the oversight report, and I wanted to agree with what Usabelo is saying because the oversight reports are usually tabled separately from the BRRR. You'll remember we not so long ago the report on the Northern Cape. And I think it was the Free State was tabled in Parliament. And so were other reports of oversight that were conducted by the committee. And so from my understanding, the BRRR simply focuses on the recommendations made by the committee on the budgets that were submitted by the department and the different entities. So I just wanted to make that point maybe to also to assist as well. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti. Honorable Doctor, your hands is up again.
So why is it again?
No, it's again because you have spoken already on the board because we.
I'm gonna maybe take us a little bit back, but I just wanted to understand. I might actually just not be understand. Numbers have never been my thing, Chair. But where we discuss PPRA, we do say that they achieved 33%, but then we later on say their performance increased by 68%. Are we saying 68%? Of maybe like from like their, if they had achieved 6%, now they've improved by 68% and that brought them to 33% in the last quarter of the year. Is that what we are saying? Please just clarity. I'm not trying to be, sorry, Chair, just an understanding. So it's under point 8.5, sorry. So we do say in the paragraph that the success rate was 33.3%. And then we say the PPRA achieved the following. And one of those bullets says a notable improvement in PPRA's performance was achieved in quarter four of the 22-23 financial year by a resounding 68% improvement from quarter one. So I just want to understand that 68%, like that, I don't know, either the necessity of that paragraph that we're including or like, what does it actually mean? What are we saying? It's making me confused.
Yeah, I'm not in it, Jay. I'm going to confirm, Jay.
Okay. Because my submission would be because that we leave it out because it's not an achievement. They haven't achieved anything. And in my submission, I feel like we should leave that bullet out. Because
I agree with you, Doctor. And Sabelo,
yes,
you can coin your sentence differently, but achieving because it will confuse. Our observation, because if you are saying people they've achieved 68 and we're saying. They've not achieved, they've achieved 33. It will create confusion. And I'm not sure, maybe I agree with Doctor, maybe it's either we must remove that sentence or we must coin it differently.
Understood, Chair.
Yes, that achievement is not there. I agree with Doctor. Can we then move to observation and recommendation? You do one recommendation and then we get members to speak to agree and then we pass so that we don't go back forth and backward.
So, so these are the recommendations and these recommendations observations and recommendations were informed by the discussions that took place with all the involved. The AG's recommendations, please note that it was adopted by the committee. So with regards to observation number one, the committee noted the achievement of the unqualified audit outcome by the department and entities, filling in of key positions, the appointment of a board of board members of all entities, the appointment of a woman chief executive officer by NHFC, improved collaboration with provinces, and leadership improvements in the sector. A recommendation, ensure that the department and entities improve from unqualified to clean audit in the future. The short transformation objectives of the country by accelerating the appointment of women youth and persons with living with disabilities to strategic positions in the sector.
Do you agree with the recommendation? Sabelok, because we have two provinces that is still unqualified, disqualified, and one entity this which got qualifications. You have an observation on that the two provinces and the because the way the first sentence is it might include those that have not got unqualified. You can then have under it must note that though you have two provinces and one entity PPRA which has been qualified, and then we then recommend that department should monitor, must support and monitor the implementation of the action plans to uproot those challenges that they face. You'll coin it better. They must support and monitor so that they can improve their qualification to unqualified. Those the two provinces, I think you must name them and as you name the PPRH. Can we go to, if there is any other thing on the number one, we go to observation number two?
Yes, sir. No change to the implementation of lifestyle audit by NHBRC on inspectors. This was because inspectors were alleged to be receiving bribes to approve poorly constructed houses. Furthermore, these houses were often not completed on time. The recommendation, fast track the implementation of the lifestyle audit initiative to root out corruption and bribery. Thereafter, ensure consequence management for those involved in corruption and bribery. Provide the committee with timeframes on the completion of the lifestyle audits. Lifestyle audits can be replicated to other entities who got the similar mandate as HBRC. Ensure that housing projects are completed on time by adhering to the project readiness matrix. The NHBRC should develop a comprehensive and integrated plan to prevent the approving of poor workmanship.
That's observation number two. Do you agree, members?
Chair.
Yes, Honorable Safai.
On the a recommendation with the NHBRC. I wish that we could be specific. The NHBRC should develop a comprehensive and integrated plan with other stakeholders to prevent the approving of to prevent the improving, perhaps improvement of poor workmanship. The issue that we raised there is that NHBRC comes at the last point, whereas many problems have happened in the house.
and many other dirty tricks have happened. So the best thing is that they must have an integrated program plan with inspectors. Sorry, Chair. We were focusing in particular with the inspectors of the municipality because that's where the dirty work is done, and NHBRC comes in and support those issues. So we were focusing on that, in particular on the inspectorate division of municipalities and the developers and the contractors, that they should know, have a clear oversight on the process plan integratedly before they come at the tail of the end.
Any other hands?
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Mandisa.
I just want clarity to what Ms. Kwai just said on the issue of the NHBR come on the last end. Because when the project starts, the NHBR is there. They don't come later. Because now if you are saying we are exonerating the inspectors, because the department, once the project is approved, the NHBRC is on the site immediately to monitor the process. I don't think they are coming on the last end. Let's get maybe a proper way how to make them to work with the municipality so that the integration of the department is done.
Chair, what perhaps we are saying the same thing.
Oh, okay, ma'am.
We are saying the same thing because we're speaking about an integrated program plan that is monitored by all of them until the end. Because the process plan is where funny things.
I think the word is monitoring. Yes. I think we should not complicate it because the with building of houses, there is only one entity that is given a responsibility for quality assurance. Which is NHBRC. These things, we should just even if NHBRC uses municipality inspectors and other provincial inspectors or whatever, but even if, when you, in terms of the principles delegation, even if you delegate responsibility, but you don't delegate accountability. So tomorrow we should coin this recommendation such that it doesn't make a NHBRC to relegate their accountability. So even if their mandate, their existence is to quality assure that those houses are being built properly. So Sabelo just have to coin it properly such that but encouraging the collaboration and the working together with other that integrated plans and so that you prevent the poor workmanship, but the accountability must remain with the NHBRC. Um,
No, Chair. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
I think they are proper. The two speakers, the members, are really proper, because it might not be the issue of complication. It could be the issue of strengthening even that mandate, because that mandate says that it is to protect the interest of the housing consumers and to ensure that builders comply with the prescribed in building industry standard as contained in the home building manual. It might be not that the issue per se, but in the project life cycle between the client and the project manager, as it were, there is that line of communication from say, if you have finished, if you are done with your first phase of building your foundation, you should call the client throughout up until the roofing. And then after that, you should then, when you think that the project is done, then you evaluate the project. And I think that they are proper in that way, because it's part of the project life cycle to then ensure that people will not be under a threat of a house that could collapse and things like that. Thanks, Jeff.
No, thank you very much. I think we're speaking the same language, it's just maybe we're putting it differently. What I'm emphasizing, honorable member, is that the law gives NHPRC to quality assure their involvement of other spheres of government and working with the other inspectors as they work, but the accountability resides with them as the NHPRC, because their responsibility, as you are saying, is to protect the consumer, because every house as is built before the department can pay, its NHPRC must assure the quality. So we're talking the same thing. I think we're not different. Can we then, Sabelo, just have to coin it better to reflect that. Can we then go to observation 3?
Okay.
If there is no any other hands.
Okay. So number 3, that some of the key vacancies were filled in the department, HDA, NHFC, and SHRA. However, there were still key vacancies that still need to be filled at the department, CSOS, NHPRC, PRA, to ensure stability of leadership. Recommendation, fast-track the filling of key positions with competent individuals at the department, CSOS, NHPRC, PRA, to ensure stability of leadership in the sector.
Agreed.
Chair, can I just suggest, yes. Oh no, sorry, my apologies, it's not the right one. Sorry, Chair.
Okay. Agreed with this one, number 3?
Agreed. Okay.
Number 4?
Note that there was a rental boycott strategy within SHRA. There was a need for home ownership by people who were renting for a long time. Recommendation, explore policy alternatives to ensure the promotion of home ownership or rent to buy. Present the rental boycott strategy to the committee by second quarter of
23-24 financial
year.
Any hands agreed?
Chair.
Honorable Sifoy.
Can Sabelo
read that last sentence. Present the rental boycott strategy to the committee by second quarter. What do we have to do with the rental boycott strategy? Do we know how was that boycott done? Can't it be present the anti? Do I sound better? It should be an anti-rental boycott strategy, not a rental boycott strategy. We're not part and parcel of that rental boycott. And we have got nothing to do with that. We want something against that that should not happen again. Do I make sense?
Yes, Honorable.
Something against.
For me, there are two issues here which must not be combined. Because if we were saying that go back, Sabelo.
Okay.
If you are saying there is a rental boycott, and then you then say you recommend that they explore the policy alternative to ensure the promotion of ownership or rent to buy. I think it should be separated from this rental boycott, and we should just say it must be separated, become two. Because what we're saying is that it might be Ushra's mandate is to look at the rental and department as a whole. They have a variety of options for people who wants to own houses and all those things. Because if we then have to talk about alternative policy, is to change the mandate of Shira. I think we should then be able to say that department has to look at explore various policy on the rent to buy issue, and then they'll come and brief the committee on that one. But on the problem that Shira has, we must separate it from that, because it even deals with the mandate of Shira. Shira does not have a mandate of that rent to buy. They cannot even explore that option. It should be the department. But the problem is with Shira, and Shira doesn't actually deals with those they don't deal with beneficiary direct. They've got the, what do they call them, these people who are social housing associations, something like that, which are run by municipalities. So the two different things. I think we must just separate the two.
Okay.
Any other doctor?
Thanks, Chair. I think I agree with maybe two issues being discussed here, but I do feel that we shouldn't be pushing for rental stock to be permanent, because the reason why we have rental stock is for people who can afford a certain amount, and hopefully perhaps the circumstances change and they can, you know, buy their own property and make way for someone else to use that government facility to rent, etc. And we've got different, categories of what human settlements offers. So some are rent to buy, some you are given, some you are subsidized, exactly. And I don't think we should be advocating to do away with, either rental stock by the committee advocating for people to be able to have a strategy so that if they rent for long, then they can own, because it's not going to be sustainable, or it's not going to achieve what the intention of rental stock is about, in my view, unless I'm really not understanding. But I'm seeing here people were renting for very long periods. We are noting that, and we are suggesting that the department come up with a strategy to address that. I don't think I have reservations about that, to be quite honest, because those that are renting can afford, and when they can afford better or afford to buy, the circumstances change, they move out. It's not a permanent residency. They move out and they go buy a house, or they get subsidized when they're able to, and someone else in, you know, who is in that bracket will then move in and rent the stock, etc. So I feel like we sound like we're saying we want to do away with rentals, or we want to at some point look at if you were renting for 6 months, then you can own, or if you are renting for 3 years, then you can own. I don't think that's the basis for which we should be making managing some of this observation, particularly. I hope I'm making sense, but I'm not feeling comfortable with us saying, well, if people, you know, because ultimately that's what's going to come. You know, it sounds to me like we're saying, you know, if you're renting for too long, the department must come up with something to make sure that you own something, because the department would have these rental stock, these such and such stock, these are such and such stock, and they all form different purposes. So if people have been renting for long, they have options, and they want to own, they can either apply to the department, to our bank, and that new, the word is not coming now, but our housing bank or housing finance, something, you know, they can apply there and own a property, as opposed to wanting to own where they are renting, where it's meant and intended to rent. Sorry, I don't mean to carry on too long, but I hope my point is coming across. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Sikroy?
I think this boycott that have happened is leading to us to think outside the box as the department. I think what doctor is raising may be correct, but the issue is that policy alternatives to ensure promotion of home ownership on rent to buy will be well explored and assessed and evaluated on why, because that emanates from this whole issue. Because people are people, they are different. So we have to go to what is practical, what the people want, then we will be able as government to address that. I think there's nothing that is absolute, but I think we're listening from what have been the problems and how do we make sure that we accept, we include other needs of the people. That's why that sentence that talks about explore policy alternatives to ensure the promotion of home ownership or rent to buy. So we must not close it. We must not close it. We're dealing with people that have particular needs. And the institution has got to assist such.
Okay. I think that's why I was saying. I think Doctor is raising because Shra deals with rental. There's not in any way that will then make recommendation of to Shra for them to. That's why I'm saying it must be it's two different issues. If we just have to say the department. Department must explore the other policy alternatives and not included make those two. It's like we said it's like as Doctor is saying, because it's like we said ourselves, we're saying that there must be an explore of policy alternatives, and we have not said that ourselves. It was raised based on this boycott, and that there are municipalities that have pronounced on the matter and all those things. But the issue, it should not link to the boycott, because you can't boycott to pay and then you want to buy the same house. Because even if you have to bring that policy, you would have to be a good customer that you've been paying, a loyal citizen paying his rental. Therefore, now it's there. And the private sector has got that that option. But in terms of government, the government has various options, as Doctor is saying. You have to, if you qualify, we give the for free house for those that doesn't earn from 0 to 3.5, and then you have the 3.5 to 22,000, which can qualify on the flips, and then you have the rental stock, which accommodate those that does not want to own houses. So these are the options that the department are doing. So immediately, if you attach this thing of rent to buy, then you have even to change the act of the Shra. It cannot be linked to Shra. But if there is the department, unless we say then the department has to, because this issue is, municipality has pronounced on it, and therefore a department has to look at policy options and come up with the with solution around that matter. Honorable Butas.
Chair, I think this issue of rent to buy, we should ask ourselves where this terminology or language comes from. Because in our last discussion, I remember we were saying it's a matter that needs to be discussed. And for all of us to understand, because you get it in the court.
We're missing you. Yeah. Okay.
So important for us.
Honourable Member, are you hearing what the
I'm not sure whether
you're not audible.
Dr. Segi?
Yes, Dr. Segi, can you start?
No, I'm saying, Chair, we need to find out exactly where is this rent to buy coming from. Because it's a very popular kind of language that we use. And sometimes we use it... you know, without focus on exactly what we want to do.
because I think the categories, as you mentioned, and Member Khumalo have mentioned, it's clear that we have got those categories of housing opportunities. But rent to buy is not one of them. So the discussion can be linked. Actually, it should have been on the body, not on the recommendation, that there is this discussion of rent to buy, which the source must be investigated first, and for us to be able to dismiss it or to understand for policy formulation, not to discuss it abstractly like we do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Comrade. Sorry, Honorable Seki. Today I've called you with various names. Yeah, I think, Savelo, I think let's agree that the rent-to-buy issue must just be removed, and then maybe we can, in our minutes, because it must be there, we'll then be able to pick it up and for further discussion. It should not be part of the resolution because it will be confusing. Our report, because in government there is no such policy, of course. So we must just focus on the boycott itself, and then recommend that Shara must develop a strategy to mobilize people to honor their rental. Shara must work with its subsidiaries to mobilize tenants to pay their rental avoiding the, and because the issue of rent boycott should not be accepted. Honorable Malemata.
No, thanks, Chair. I wanted to cap rent boycott, cap, as you cap crime.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Malmaja, with that assistance. Observation 5.
Hey, Chair. That day was underperformance in the delivery of BNG housing units, PDA program, and informal settlements upgrading program entitled deeds. Recommendation, conduct an analysis of where performance problems are and address them accordingly.
Agreed. Let's go to 6. I don't see any hands.
That construction mafias continue to be a challenge that undermines the democratic gain of the post-apartheid government and infringed on the citizens' right. Recommendation, adopt proper procedures to deal with construction mafia, fears in closely work with communities and the Department of Police to identify and punish those who are involved in this practice.
Agreed. Seven.
Chair.
Yes, Honorable.
When we deal with GBV, people are calling for harsh sentence to the perpetrators. Yes. Why here are we not also calling for harsh sentence for construction mafia? Because one way or another, the crime they are committing is even more than any other crime, except to say they are taking the country backward.
Okay. Doctor?
Honorable Malemata literally took the words out of my mouth, Chair, because I wanted us to consider,
being stern on what it is we want to see as a result of this recommendation that we are putting forth in terms of the consequences. That's what I wanted to make a submission on. So, you know, I also think perhaps we need to consider maybe relooking at clarifying or the is it a regulation that when there's it's regulation that when there's work or construction there needs to be a certain amount of community involvement or employment in that area. But I think it's so wide that regulation is so wide that I feel like it needs to be tightened. That should be, because that's the leg in which these construction mafias are making an argument for themselves on. And I feel like that's the regulation that we make a recommendation that be re-looked at or re-tightened. Not to take it away, I definitely agree that people in that same location need to be involved and a certain percentage of the work needs to be given to them, considering our unemployment. But I do think we need to just, re-look at that regulation to ensure that it doesn't give, anybody outside to come and parade as a community when they are not. So they should be, I feel like we should be recommending that, the department or when there's construction in that regulation, these are the specific people in communities that need to be consulted in order to ensure that there's involvement of the community or employment opportunities for that community. Whether we include councillors, to that extent, I'm not necessarily 100% on, but whether we include ward councillors and this, so that it's specific and it outlines, that regulation must outline the process under which and how it should happen. So that's my submission, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Sifai?
Chair. There are two issues here. I just want to come clearer to what Dr. Kumar is raising. There are two issues here. We are housing development. That's our department. Our mandate is to give houses to people. And we have got regulations and policies how we should do that. And how we should facilitate a process towards building houses in an area. And there are also policies on how other people should participate and how business people should address that. Now, the issue now, I'm worried about us finding ourselves addressing criminals, because there is a clear program on who must participate, who must get business in this development. Clear. Who must get business here and how, like the disadvantaged people, the percentages and all that. The mafias, they want something totally different. They want to halt the project, that the project must listen to them outside all those other processes. Now, I'm trying to check is that are we able then to deal with the criminals and deal with the housing development? Because there's criminality now that is happening in the people that are stopping projects for their own. Even the 30%, the 40% that we're talking about, they don't want us for their own interpretation. So when are we going to build houses? If you address this, I'm trying to say, can't we focus on what we need to do and other regulations of SAPs and all other issues to deal with the mafias? I may not help the Sabelo, but trying to say, can we be specific on what is our role
what is our mandate, and leave other criminality issues to SAPS. Because the protection of how housing should start, we have got those regulations and they are known. They don't want that. They want their own way of doing things. Can't we leave that to SAPS? And I agree with that harsh sentence, so that SAPS must listen how we are so affected. We request a harsh sentence to mafias.
Okay, Honorable Malemaje.
I'm fine, Comrade Chair.
Yeah. Okay. I think let's just say what the mafia, the what construction mafias are doing is wrong. Need a harsher sentence and leave it like that, because you know the criminals, one way or another, they look at your policy and maneuver within the policies. There is no policy that you should get the 30% without doing any job. Even the policies that says local communities have to be participated, it's based on the work that they must do. But what the mafias they are doing, they demand the 30% of every project. You must give them the 30%, which they've not even worked for. So I think we must just say this is criminal activity need to be dealt with harshly. So, but outside this report, as we deal with the issues of construction, if you remember when we're dealing with the provinces, we have raised the issue of, I can't remember whether it was Mpumalanga or Limpopo when they were presenting that they are unable to report on the work done because people who are the contractors employ the foreign nationals with the allegation that South Africans, they are lazy, they don't want to work, and on all those things. Outside this report, we would have to look at, as we take the process forward in dealing with these issues, the department, we have to engage the department to make sure that they tighten their rules such that any people that are given contract with government, they'll have to employ South Africans, because these things that South Africans does not want to work when they were working before, I know that I don't know how true is it, because it cannot be correct that people, they don't want to work, they just want to and my view is that you have people who want to exploit these foreign nationals because they come here undocumented, they exploit them, they make them to do the work, they don't pay them. When they demand their money, they then report them to the police to arrest them and deport them back. So there is a lot of stories around these issues. I think what we just have to separate these issues from those organized criminals that they told themselves that they will frustrate the infrastructure development in the country to benefit themselves, because if you look, it's not even people from that community who will demand those 30% set aside, and the policy of government is very clear that it's 40% for women, 15% for youth. what 0. Don't it, or 1% for disability. So that, no, it's a policy of government. So let's leave it like that. Do we agree? Can we pass? Who's that?
Yeah, we are going to pass, Chair, is pleasure.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to say that perhaps that assertion that we should leave these things to the Department of Police is correct to a certain extent, in that one is that the issue of construction mafia exists as a result of construction, which is entailed at the mandate of the department. So to treat it as a by-the-way issue will have negative implications to the mandate of the department itself. So perhaps when you say, Chair, that we should receive and we should consider some legal some legalistic procedure to deal with legislation, we might perhaps have to consider the kind of procurement process that we are using in terms of the documents that deal with the PFMA and the bidding system, whether it does not prompt corruption. It does not invite this kind of situation wherein the construction is plagued by a construction mafia that is hell-bent at derailing the mandate of the department. It might invite that we look at the tender system. It's there, I think, where I'm coming from in local government. It's at chapter 11 of the MFMA, but I don't know where it's here. I'm going to have to research it. That particular set of impediments, it being criminal, must be dealt with in cooperative governance, where we are saying that there is a joint hand-in-hand working together with the Department of with the law enforcement agencies to look at, for instance, the investigation emanating as a result of these the activities that are made by construction companies, because certainly it is not sustainable. It will be the people that are suffering. You will have a housing backlog as a result of the derailment. You will continue to speak to the same issues of backlog as a result of people that are doing criminal activities. While there is actually a backlog of huge number of backyard dwellers, huge number of targets that were already been issued by the department in terms of ensuring that in 2004, for instance, they said that there will be a formalization of informal settlements. That target has long been gone. And then and any criminal activities must be dealt. I think it must be dealt from that perspective of cooperative governance, wherein we are getting reports as the department from the law enforcement agency in terms of the achievements they have made within the construction mafia issue, Chair. I think that's my 2 cents. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. But in terms of the resolution here, we are saying that construction mafias must be dealt with in collaboration with this. the SAPS, and maybe we should say not SAPS, because you need even the intelligence to understand the syndicate better. Maybe what they call them as they combine the SAPS, the intelligence.
The SIU.
Yes. What do they call them?
Law enforcement.
Law enforcement. Yes, with the law enforcement, not SAPS, with the law enforcement agents. Yes, thank you. Let's pass it there. But the discussion, let's take it further, honorable members, just to, if at some point, I think we should invite as the department to invite to come along with the law enforcement agencies and understand what are they doing around the issues and how far are they progressing in terms of doing away with those issues. And I know that the PFMA under finance, I think under, is it under, yeah, finance, the treasury has come up with the amendment of the PFMA. If there is the need for the amendment, let's make input in that legislation. I think as construction department, we should then develop interest in looking at that amendment and how we can contribute towards making sure that we close those gaps, because already there is that process to amend the PFMA. Agreed?
Chair, my hand's been up and somebody keeps putting it down, and I keep putting it up and somebody keeps putting it down. I'm not sure what's happening, but I would like to still speak. Thanks.
Okay. But it's up in terms of my my gadget.
I just put it up because I was seeing you not recognizing me because somebody took it down. And so second time I'm putting it up after somebody put it down. I'm not sure what's happening. But Chair, so if I may make a suggestion, I agree with what you're saying. So maybe we could say that construction mafias be dealt with in collaboration with, I think there maybe I would like to submit an amendment to say that perhaps within the police unit or within the law enforcement that we have agencies, that we have a dedicated unit like we do for land invasions in various provinces where they do, and they seem to be dealing with land invasions, you know, pretty well in comparison to provinces that don't have the land invasion units within law enforcement. They usually have it within SAPS or within their metro police in the metropolitan. But I'd like to make a submission that we look and consider to recommend that the establishment of a unit to the construction mafia, anti-construction mafia unit to deal with construction mafias, especially because we are seeing you know, the department is overwhelmed or is unable to deal with it as per the minister's reply in one of the questions in parliament. But I think if we have a dedicated, and, you know, we often find ourselves waiting long for SAPS or for law enforcement to react. And in some instances, also capacitation becomes an issue in terms of applying the human settlement laws or regulations. It is criminal act, but, you know, people who deal with it should also be capacitated to a certain extent around housing and the laws in that respect. So I'd like to maybe that we include consideration or, you know, recommendation for law enforcement to consider establishing a anti-corruption unit. Anti-construction mafia unit to deal with the construction mafia issue, because it's widespread and it's becoming a little too much in terms of the impact on residents that are waiting for, or on citizens that are waiting for housing opportunities. Thanks, Chair. If the committee can allow that to go through. Thanks.
Okay. I think we're agreeing with the doctor that to comment that the law enforcement agency must establish a unit to look in, to deal with the construction mafia.
Chair?
Yes.
Yes. No, two things, man. I think we must focus on the report. When we are on recommendations, let's recommend and limit the debate, because you'll find that we come back, we open it, and at the end of the day, we go back to say, we are at the recommendation, we recommend this. And when we recommend some other recommendation, the very same recommendation itself, it calls for all enforcement, all units to come together. Honorable Doctor, I think in agreement with you, in Gauteng, if you recall, 4 or 5 years back, we had that unit, and it was working throughout that any disruption of the project, they were to be called, they go there with police and everything, and they were even empowered to open a case on the spot and arrest. If that we can have a way of calling it, that it be empowered so that it's throughout the country, it assisted, if Comrade Putas and those who are from Gauteng can recall that, coming to now, this issue of the land, I mean, construction mafia, is no longer more in Gauteng. It's now running away, because that unit is there, but that unit must be throughout the country. It does help. Thank you so much.
Okay. Can we then proceed to... There is consensus in that it should be at national, so that it applies to all the provinces. Can we then go to... Sorry, hello? We're at 8.
So my apologies, Chair. I was just capturing what you were saying. But Honorable Malathen, you are saying so. Okay, so we are at observation number 7. That provinces were often accused of poor planning and submitting projects that were not ready for implementation to the department. Recommendation, use the project readiness matrix to ensure that projects submitted are ready for implementation. Ensure that provinces submit project lists on time to ensure prompt implementation.
Agree?
Yes, Chairperson, agree.
8.
That there was a lack of implementation of action plans or general strategies by the department and entities to address repeated findings by the AGSA. Often action plans do not deal with root causes of irregular expenditure. Recommendation, ensure that these turnaround plans are implemented on time. Update the committee on a quarterly basis on progress made in this regard.
Agreed.
Okay, number 9. Note that the department and National Treasury through Operation Vulindlela were in the process of developing a strategy to unblock the title deed program. Recommendation, fast track the development of the strategy to unblock the title deeds program. Ensure that the steering committee on title deeds presents the strategy to the committee by the second quarter of 2023-24 financial year.
Agreed,
Chair.
Agreed.
That municipal capacity to implement and manage housing development was a challenge. Recommendation, closely work with municipalities and the HDA to ensure that accredited municipalities are provided with necessary capacity to implement and manage housing development.
Agreed.
11, that's the management of the beneficiary.
There is hand. Wait.
Okay, so sorry.
Honorable Khumalo and Honorable Malemaja. Oh, sorry, Chair. Mine is a legacy hand. My apologies. Okay. Honorable Malemaja.
Me too, Comrade. I mean, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you. Hand. Okay. Number 11.
That the management of the beneficiary list was still a persisting problem. This was compounded by the housing subsidy system that was not aligned to the housing register. This resulted in interference. Recommendation, fast track the digitalization of the beneficiary list and align the systems to prevent interference. Work with communities to prevent to promote whistleblowing.
Agreed.
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Malemaja.
I'm not sure at what point, but at some stage we did say where there's a commencement of houses, the lists of those who are going to benefit must be in the office, in the site office, to avoid this tempering and all other things. I'm not sure how do we coin it that where there is the project, list must be transparent to everybody that no one will come and occupy somebody's house illegally.
Yes, we took this decision in one of the, I think when we're dealing with the oversight, that the beneficiary list, because it's municipality who's responsible for that, before they have been submitted to provincial government and national, it must be a council resolution so that to avoid the interference of the list, council has to resolve this. This is our backlog, and this is the names of the people in terms of how they came to register there. their needs, but I think here the issue is based on, if you remember, Minister had committed that they are going to digitalize the beneficiary list such that nobody will interfere. But in the meantime, that's why here we must just demand that the department must fast-track that digitization to align this, because Auditor General raised that the housing needs were not aligned to HSS. People that you found on the HS, majority of them does not appear on the housing needs register, which means that the housing needs register is not formalized. There is no regulation around that, and therefore, and the briefing that we had with the minister was that the digitization of this beneficiary list is going to assist in that to promote transparency and stop those interferences and all those things. So, but we then said because it was a major issue as we're moving around during the public hearings that we had in the community. And we then said that maybe in the meantime, the department
because they are using municipality to deal with that. It should be the council resolution, so that when this councillor comes in, does not actually change the list because he wants to his own people. It should, or the system must be a council issue, where people will just register in the council, and council their system should then, every now and then, there must be a resolution of council to deal with the, in the meantime, when the minister is busy with finalization of this digitization system. I think for now, the because already in the report that we've debated in Parliament, I think it has that on the council resolution. Here we can just because the frustration of the digitization is the one, the better solution than the resolution of the council, because in areas like where you have the council that does not sit because of the coalitions, they might not have that system. They might not sit for them to adopt those lists, and it might affect the housing needs. I think what is important is that the minister has to fast track this digitization of the beneficiary list to make sure that there's alignment of the housing needs register with the HSS system. I think housing, what do you call it, Sabel? Housing.
It's a housing subsidy system.
Yes. Are we agreeing, members?
Chair, can I come in?
Yes.
Thanks, Chair. So, I don't know. I've got some frame to fast tracking the digitization of the benefits being a priority, and we're not seeing great progress in this regard. The department is working on it, but you know, I feel like we should put a time as a committee or recommending to the department in terms of, you know, ensuring that this is so that we can also, you know, enable ourselves to do you know, our oversight in terms of our expectations, and the department knows our expectations. So that's what I'm putting. As you said, this must be a council resolution. I feel like it should be more that did in the past highlight that, you know, certain things aren't able to, I don't remember the particular subject we were talking about, that in municipal, the housing department wants them to do something, but if there's no council resolution on it, then it becomes a problem. So dependent on councillors or councils, I think we'll post, as opposed to, we recommend that this, what is it, directive, or, you know, if we need to legislate it, then we put it in the policy that happens to help fast track. I think it will, because if we say we're leaving it to councils, when we've heard the minister say sometimes it becomes a challenge to implement certain things, because the council will say, well, we didn't adopt it enough. Because it must be a resolution. Certain councils across the country don't accept that resolution. It becomes a challenge there. We need this housing, this digitized housing list as a matter of urgency. So I would say we make national directives so that nobody, no municipality or province has a choice around whether or not assist in terms of fast tracking this process. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, the you're proposing that you must put the time frame on the fast track
situation of very what from Honorable Doctor, I was saying that one answer oversight that we have visited and they will complain around issues and the department is busy with the digitization. There is still, there is a problem that is existing on the ground. How then in the, how do we deal with it? In the meantime, as the department nationally digitize the system that will stop those interferences and corrupt activities around them. So I was just clarifying Honorable Malemata to say that already we have that decision, which we have debated in Parliament as part of the report in Parliament. But here we just have to agree with yourself that we need to get the department to fast track with this digitization system. And you are proposing that we should put the time frame. So I was saying, let's help Sabelo with the time frame, honorable members.
Chair, I would maybe suggest before, because I feel like this should be a step by step sort of process where the department then gets all the lists from all the departments, from all the provinces, sorry. And obviously the province would need to get lists from municipalities. So I think to put against ensuring that the department acquires all the lists from all the provinces in 6 months. I feel like 6 months is a, before they can even publish it publicly. I think that would be a step with the view that once they've got it, we can petition for the housing department, National Housing Department, to publish housing lists, you know, that are integrated, including municipal. That's the proposal I would put to them. Thank
you. Okay. The system should be worked within 6 months. Is it possible? Doctor?
Look, Chair, I think this is literally putting information together, information that already exists in these municipalities and in all the provinces. But it's to put it together. I don't think it's unreasonable, but colleagues can perhaps share their ideas around why they would feel it is quite kind of a tight period, because municipalities have their housing lists. Provinces have their housing lists. They're not published as it is. So what we are intending here to do is departments have a one and collect housing lists that they get this month. I don't think it's unreasonable, but of course we can all decide. Okay, but I think to just get information is I don't think it's so much of a hassle.
Okay. That can then be the another because I was saying that the digitization means that you'll have the system that would make sure that as you punch the beneficiary, as you capture the beneficiary, automatically the system reflect at national level within the system of how the registry needs and which will then be tested by the HSS system to say that the person that is on the list qualified. I think that's what the department probably is working on to make sure that there is synchronized of the system that
even including dealing with the policies that you don't need disabled person to be on the list. We need to be prioritized and child-headed families and blah blah. If you punch the name of Rosina with those details, who is he and all those things, then automatically the system will then give the Rosina the whether prioritized or not. So I think the completion of the digitization, I think maybe we should maybe with the 6 months, we should say the minister must brief the committee within 6 months or how far has she gone with the digitization process. But the collation of the list and the the collection of the list of the beneficiaries from municipality to provinces, it's a new thing. It's a new on top of this one of the system, because if in the last time when we were dealing with it, you remember we were saying that as long as you have you don't have a system, when things go in hands of human beings, you're still going to lose some other names will disappear in the process. And to avoid the situation where when you publish the list, then you cause the havoc in the entire country. when people, they don't understand the system, how the system operates, going to become a problem on its own. But I'm not, I don't know how members feel about it, because we should then help to come with the resolution that will bring stability in the country. And if maybe adding to that resolution of the council resolution, before we're waiting for the system to be finalized, we can then say minister must be able to collate to publicize those council needs. But again, to publicize it without workshopping and incapacitating and empowering people where they must go with the councils, and how does the ward councillor feed? You know, it's on its own, it's a very huge challenge system that we have to bring along. But if I think maybe if we can just agree that we say that in 6 months the minister must come and update the committee in terms of this digitization processes and how and then just so that we are able to plug the issues of the municipality and the ward councillor. How do they come in? Because the confusion that we have on the ground, if you remember when we were in Eastern Cape, I'm not sure you were there, doctor, where there were people who were saying we've registered on the, because what councillors, they've got this team called, what in? What committees? We have registered in what committees, but the councillor, when he consolidated our list, he has excluded us on the list, replaced me by this person and all those things. So I'm just saying that we needed to take a decision that say department has to bring the system that resolve the
challenge, and it must be transparent and cap corruption. What else? Yeah, something like that. Because just to publicize the list without doing the work of verifying processes, it's going to be, and establishing the protocol of municipality better to understand how does those lists have been done. But if it is the council itself, they know, they've got their ward committees which actually submit their needs as they adopt their, what is that, in IDP, they should have actually been finalize the list and then resolve. As they adopt the IDP, they must adopt the list, then send it to national for or provinces. It will then work better. And that coalition can then be that part of putting those lists together from the council resolution. As waiting for the formalization or finalization of the system itself, because municipalities actually they will fight for their own rights in the process again, or they are the people who are dealing with the people on the ground. Therefore, any list that does not come from them. How did the national get these people and all those things? You know, it's not an easy thing. Maybe we should focus on the system. And as the system is being developed, ourselves we must plug all the information and related issues that we think need to happen so that it will help to produce the credible list in the process. Agreed. There is no any hands. Let's go to observation 12.
That there was no correlation between budget spent and MTSF target achieved. Recommendation: ensure that budget spent and targets achieved are aligned. Conduct frequent monitoring of plans to ensure consistent alignment with the NDP and MTSF.
Yeah, start with the MTSS and then and then NDP alignment with the MTSS and then end NDP. Yeah. And any, yes. Yeah. Agreed.
That is, sorry.
Agreed, members. We're passing 13.
That there was a lack of a retention strategy in the sector, which often results in the loss of institutional memory. Recommendation: ensure the implementation of the retention strategy to protect institutional memory.
Agreed. 14.
That there was an issue of...
Oh, their hands. Wait. Doctor, is it legacy hands and Brutus?
Yes, sorry, Chair. The legacy hand. I'll put it down. My apologies.
Okay. That the Brutus?
Okay. I think it's a fitted. And I've got a lot more here because I'm working. It's fine.
No, you can talk.
Your summary was fine, Chief.
Okay.
Let's proceed to Sabelo.
Yes. That there was an issue of decaying towns, which was often accompanied by building hijackings. Ensure that the NHSC and SHRA assesses abandoned buildings to provide more rentals and bonded houses.
Agreed.
Chair, can I just also make a submission that perhaps we need a register of, you know, like monitoring specific, that we recommend specific monitoring of, you know, buildings that are owned by the department in terms of, you know, their use. Like we do an audit, maybe let me put it that way. Can we recommend that an audit be done of, you know, government buildings and for what uses they are being used for currently, so that it can be seen and who like if it's leased or rented or whatever the case might be, that there is a monitoring and an audit of those, because I feel like they often go under the radar without notice because there isn't that step of monitoring and evaluating and, you know, and making sure that if it was rented and somebody leaves, you know, then nobody else comes in without government knowing. So I feel like if we can add something like a yearly audit, an annual audit on government buildings and their use and status of whether it's a leased building to somebody or an NGO or whatever the case might be. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
15.
Okay, Chair. Noted the digitalization of the NHSC system to professionalize their product or services. Recommendation: share with other entities this approach to assist them to professionalize their products or services.
We have to have such a resolution.
It's up to members.
Chair, can I maybe suggest? Oh, sorry.
Because they've got different mandates and. Yes, doctor, you can come in.
I think maybe to make it a holistic observation recommendation is that we would recommend the department and its entities to move towards digitizing their processes in quest to professionalize you know, their operations. As opposed to necessarily saying other entities must copy that, like must do it, but that we, you know, considering the era in which we're moving to everything being digitized, I think that would be a bit, like, you know, to say it is, we see it as it is possible as per the NHFC that you can professionalize your products or services through digitizing them. And therefore, our recommendation is that the department and its entities move or take an approach to digitize their services and products where possible. Like you say, I mean, all the mandates are different, but where possible, I think maybe if we put it that way, it might be helpful because it is something that I think we should drive towards in considering the world we live in today. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Agreed.
Noted housing insurance provided by the NHBRC. However, the committee was concerned about the lack of consumer education in that regard. Recommendation: ensure public or consumer education on NHBRC insurance. The entity should improve its visibility, particularly in rural areas.
Agreed.
There's a hand up, Chair.
Doctor?
Thanks, Chair. Again, I feel like maybe we should be specific about our expectation in terms of when we say improve, public or consumer education, what do we mean? From what number to what number? Or should we put out a number for ourselves that every quarter there needs to be at least one consumer education session in whether we say districts or in municipalities by NHBRC? Because I remember particularly this recommendation was in last year's our report as well from last year. It was there. So, you know, the fact that we're repeating, I think maybe we should reflect on, we keep recommending this. It's not necessarily happening. Perhaps we need to put it up a notch in terms of putting a target of what they should be achieving according to our expectations.
Agree?
Good, Chair.
Okay. We should then be able to say that I think we should indicate that every quarter there must be a report on the consumer education that the NHBRC has also. Honorable Seki.
My apologies, Chair.
Okay.
5 hours.
Let's go to 70.
Yes, sir. No efforts by entities to deal with transformation. Okay, so not yet efforts by entities to deal with transformation by empowering women contractors. The recommendation, this transformation drive should also reach youth, persons living with disabilities, and persons living with disabilities.
Agreed.
My hand is up.
Okay.
Maybe I agree, but I think maybe to assist and for us to also be clear what we are recommending, again, to be specific. So I agree with everything as is, but maybe to add on the recommendation that departments and its entities collaborate and partner up with NGOs like, people with disability, youth organizations, and people living with disability organizations, or those, to partner up with those in order to have or increase the accessibility to this particular constituent. Because we've heard also in provincial reports where provinces have reported that they struggle to get people with disabilities. Meanwhile, there are organizations that are dealing with these people or of these people that entities and departments can actually deliberately, intentionally work with to collaborate and be able to get and tap into those skills that they are needed from those particular constituencies. So that would be my suggestion in addition to what is there already. I think that will improve what we are trying to have happen. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. I think we should, with the youth, there is NYDA. What?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Yeah. NYDA. Department should collaborate with NYDA and other formations representing people living with disability and youth. If there is we should not limit them to NYDA. So NYDA does not, they should then contact the youth organization. And the resolution will even cover in the future if you have the formation of other youth organizations.
Can we remove NGOs, please?
Yes.
When we say transversal organization or targeted groups,
yeah, targeted
everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Observation 8.
Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah. Okay.
Appreciated the invitation to the CISOS Indaba because it was informative. However, the committee was concerned about the substandard communication strategy of the entity. This was because the entity was often accused of not communicating on time. This was compounded by problems encountered in the CISOS Connect system. Recommendation ensured that the CISOS improves their communication strategy and visibility in communities, that CISOS improves the CISOS Connect system. That was the last one, Chairperson. Thanks.
Agreed. Chair, are we, can, is there a chance I can add an observation and recommendation, please?
Okay.
Thanks. Well, what I think wasn't covered, particularly with two issues coming from me, the one is the PPRA performance and what we agreed in that meeting, that we should have frequent, like an intentional and frequent monitoring of PPRA where they come and present, I don't know if it was monthly or quarterly, but they present to us a turnaround strategy. I think that we need to include there as well. The other issue I feel we need to be talking on is the blocked project, Chair. I think listening to the various provinces when they presented to us, we've, you know, it's quite clear that the target of finishing blocked project within the time that we've put is not going to be achieved. And so I would like to maybe put it, as I've phrased it here, considering the blocked project progress and challenges thereof, particularly related to funding, that the department consider a fund or grant specific to block projects on an annual basis in relation to the target for that year. And I know that the funding comes from the existing grants, but I feel like we should maybe begin, because we've heard certain provinces say or highlight finance or funding as a challenge around these block projects. So that would be my two submissions in terms of the recommendations to be added there. Thanks, sir.
Any other hands on the matter? I agree with the first one. The second one, I don't agree. Because provinces, it's them who actually created this block project. They must use their... let's leave the way MinMec has put it. If they are not actually meeting the target, they'll come and account why they've not met the target. Because in terms of treasury, if you remember when you get the briefings, why this block project came as part of the agenda was that National Treasury, we even engaged the National Treasury. I know that, Honorable Doctor, you were not here before that time. National Treasury indicated that block projects that are created by, for instance, the lack of a contractor's capacity and the state has not lost resources and blah blah, the department can write to the National Treasury to look at the compensation on the because annually they have this working this the amount that they use to build these houses. And with the contract that has happened and the contractor deliberately leave
project and the contractor has actually get the money, the department has to prove to National Treasury that they follow the consequence management in to get that contractor to bring the money, to repay the money back, and consequence management, then the treasury, they can then be able to deal with those block projects. So the grants, this issue of the grants, it won't happen. And what we just have to make sure is to get the department, the Minimec agreed that they must resolve those block projects. Provinces, it's their doing. They have to use the age, their grants to deal with the mess that they've created. And if they follow, they know if they follow the process that the treasury has outlined, then they'll then be able to get assisted, special assistance from treasury based on the reasons that they give to National Treasury, which National Treasury agreed of. So the grants to deal with that, I personally don't agree with that, because they know what they have to do. They have to, the Minmec has said and agreed on that process, and they have agreed that they will finish it within the 3 years. What we have to do is to get them to say, how far are you, provinces, national department, what is it that you are doing with your provinces to deal with the issue of the block project? If they cannot, because if we bring this thing of grants, it's us who then promoting that they must create others, because in the process there will be others that have been created because they know that there is a grant.
Chair, so just two things or three things. I may have missed it, but earlier, maybe let me not start with that. In relation to block projects, what is our stance? Because we've listened to different provinces, and I feel like the committee needs to be vocal on this, because the achievement rate is not satisfactory, and I don't think any of us can say we are very happy with the progress in which we are getting in reports from provinces. And I feel like we need, if the committee doesn't agree to establish a funding or a grant, because provinces should have the funds, etc. The reality is we sat in two specific meetings that I remember with three provinces mentioning, if not more, but those ones stood out for me because they were adamant. Free State being one of them, the Western Cape being another. KZN also noted that particular challenge. And I'm saying, what are we saying as a committee? Because I don't feel it's just for us as an oversight committee, given the responsibility to do oversight on behalf of citizens in this country and say, well, if the provinces don't do it, then they will deal with the consequences. For how much longer would the beneficiaries of those block projects, will we allow for them to continue to not have access to housing or decent housing? So I feel like we need to have, yes, perhaps my recommendation, you may not agree with it as a committee, but I do feel as a committee we should be bringing a solution to the table in relation to these block projects that often override and trample on the human right to decent shelter. So I do feel we need a stance on that. I'm not sure what the committee, we are all here, and I feel like we should all deliberate and come up with something that will advance and get an improvement out of this blocked project agenda. And secondly, Chair, perhaps you also mentioned now as you were speaking, that they are financed, etc., for sure. But what consequences are we not even going to have as a common stance on
consequences if we are going to leave it to provinces to do or not to do, and then deal with it after they've not done, which means another year of us sitting and talking what we are talking against today, when many other citizens then continue to wait for the center. So I feel like we need a stance. And I'm not sure if I may have missed that recommendation on observation, Chair, on the title deeds. I mean, we had over 300, the department had over 375,000 title deeds to deliver in the year, and they only delivered 25,000 something. And I feel like, again, on that issue, there should be something as a committee that we give a directive in terms of what should happen or what can happen to improve that particular priority, especially because it's a priority. Again, I would recommend, but I see perhaps the appetite is not there for these sort of things, but I would really recommend, particularly because of the challenges around title deeds, the IRFs not being, what is the word used to identify? Yes, the mother IRF is not, yes, that they haven't been done ever since pre democracy, even from apartheid eras and and those documents being lost, that there should be a voice that we have as a committee in relation to that, and trying to maybe just address the issue around title deeds. But thanks, Chair. But I do think on the block project, we need to maybe deliberate a little bit more about what is our stance and what is our view in improving performance in that regard. Because simply saying again for another year, well, provinces must just perform, when we are hearing as a committee what they are citing as some of their challenges, I feel we should be, it is our responsibility to try and give guidance around what should happen in that regard. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Doctor. I think on the title, there is an observation that we're told that there is the department jointly with National Treasury using the Vulindlela operation. They are going to, because it has been escalated to the presidency, the issue of the title deeds. And then we are saying that the steering committee that consists of the department and the National Treasury and planning and monitoring, they must come to brief the committee on how they are going to unblock this title deed project program. So I think we have observed on that one. On the block project, I think, as you are saying, we should then say that maybe we should actually have another meeting with the department around that issues and understand, because the minister said 3 years, he has not come to us and say the 3 years program has, we're going to fail. We just had it when we interacted with provinces, which provinces get grants, and the grants that they get from national is of that priority, of ministerial priorities. And what we may want to do is to, outside the process of the PRRR, call the department to check what is the yardstick that the minister is going to use to make sure that provinces prioritize the ministerial priorities as given the grant, because the grant is very clear, has got conditions to implement the ministerial priorities by the MINMEC, including those NECs that they were there. So the issue, they must account why they are not actually implementing, and ourselves,
we have to get the department and those the provinces themselves, spend themselves 3 years to implement, and why are they not implementing? Because they're getting the grants. And if you look at the provinces that we have mentioned, KZN, I think it Free State is something else because it's the issue of their capacity and blah, blah. But KZN and Western Cape, they are getting, with Gauteng, they are getting huge budgets of all the provinces. But other provinces, they are putting their budget in those to eradicate those block projects. I think Minister has given us 3 years. Let's have a meeting. I think maybe when we're going to deal with the quota, I'm not sure which quota is that in terms of the system, and then we can then Sabelo ask the Koliswa to ask the minister to come and brief us in terms of the progress in terms of implementing the block project and what is it within the period that they've actually given themselves to deal with those things. And the other thing is that we should actually even worry about mitigating the creation of other block projects in the system, because we should not focus only on unblocking those that were there, but even to make sure that there should not be any creation of block project and department nationally, they must strengthen their monitoring to make sure that there is no creation of any other block project in the system as we are dealing with those the backlog that we have. So the issue of the PPRA, I think we can then say that because I remember we had said that they must come and present their action plan to deal with matters of instances and that were raised by Auditor General, and they must develop in the action plan that deals with the root causes of those the issues that the Auditor General has raised. I think we should then be Sabelo, let's look at the program of Parliament before we then we put the time frame when we can have that.
Okay.
Chair, if I may.
Yes, Doctor.
I just had a thought. I must be honest, it wasn't in my notes. But you talking about block projects and the reasons why we have block projects, and obviously we all know it's contractors as well as part of it. Should we not, as a committee, have a recommendation that perhaps, I mean, we've spoken about it, and I think previous members of the committee may have spoken about it, but I really think it's something serious for us to consider, the issue of having a blacklist list. I know the challenges we've discussed, I know some of the challenges that have been highlighted by the department in having such a list, but I think we should have a stance around, you know, these contractors that abandon projects, et cetera, whether it's blacklisting them or... You know, but I really do think such a recommendation will assist to make progress, and it also encourage contractors to make sure that they work and they deliver, because otherwise they're never going to get any other work from government anywhere in the country, because we've heard of contractors in the Free State that perhaps didn't perform, and then next thing they are hired in another province and they are doing the very same work, etc. So I think either an audit of contractors throughout the country that have abandoned projects, and if they have any active contracts in other provinces, an audit, such an audit, and also a blacklist system of some sort that can be shared across all provinces.
So I don't know how the committee feels, but I think that is something progressive that we can put down as a committee, knowing the challenges that you know, come with why some of these projects get blocked.
Yeah,
I think if you remember, Doctor, we have even called National Treasury, because the department told that National Treasury has got the system to block, blacklist these contractors, and we called the National Treasury, if you remember, in one meeting, which they came and say it's not an easy thing. There are processes and procedures that had to be followed, and before you can block at the time you reach that level with the process that you have to follow, that contractor might have get the been given the contract in other province, or change the even the names and you, if you remember in that meeting, I'm not sure whether we're dealing with the we agreed, which is part of the resolution, that MINMEC must go and deliberate on the matter and get the solution as the MINMEC to say what is it that they should do because National Treasury, the system that National Treasury they were referring to is not working as we envisage as members of committee. And then we said MINMEC must go and look at the matter and come back to us, the committee, to tell us what is it that they are going to do with the contractors that are not performing in the system legally, so without without putting the organization in the problem. I remember I suggested that for me it's an easy thing. Why don't you all provinces circulate those contractors in the MINMEC so that every province can have that list of those contractors who are not performing, and without even saying that you are not, you use those names to, as you award the bidding, you will then say to that particular contractor, but we are not going to give you contract because in your history, this is what you have done. You have not actually finished the project at this area on this date. We've given National Treasury the mandate that they should work day and night to make sure that the system is shortened and make sure that these people who are taking advantage of government, they should then be paid. They pay the price so that people must not undermine government to say that we can do this nonsense here and then get appointed somewhere. So those are the issues that we've raised in those meetings. I think maybe we just want to, and at that time we said the department must go and work on the matter. We've given them the task to go and work on the matter. Maybe we can then ask them to bring the report, and then if we're not happy with what they are said to do, and then we can then add our work.
Chair, my hands was up.
Yes, Honorable Lemacha.
Okay. Thanks. I think I want to unconditionally support that they have to be blacklisted. In your industry, when you're dealing with the residents of that, bear in mind that you are correct, because we don't need to be one-sided. A classical difficult example is when a contract can't finish the work because the department itself or the province itself is not paying them. Now, you blacklist me because I was working in Western Cape and they had no money to pay me. I had to go somewhere. And somewhere, because this thing of blackmailing is like, I mean, blacklisting is like, even to yourself, I can give example. A shop accidentally blacklists you. You only realize when you want to apply for something because you know for a fact that you are clean. Now you get this thing, it becomes a process for you to clean yourself. In this case, what the treasurer is saying, they are mentioning exactly what I'm trying to say. It's not one uniform fit all. There are a lot of challenges around it, but all in all, we are in agreement that where it's possible and doable, they must be blacklisted that they don't even go somewhere and cause that damage. But two, the government itself must 30 days pain because it also contributes.
Okay. Any other hands before we go to the...
Yes, can I just ask?
Yes, doctor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, maybe we should put a recommendation that we've observed the challenges around contractors who abandon and just non-perform, and we've observed that, and we expect the department or MINMEC to come back to us, as you say, that they would, that we put it there and it's on record. I really feel strongly about it. On the part of blacklisting contractors, Chair, yes, I remember that conversation, but I actually don't think it should be acceptable to ask for, to accept that, oh, it's difficult, so it's not going to be done. Many difficult things have been done in this country, as difficult as they were. And I feel like we can't, as a committee, accept a, you know, just... So they said it's difficult because they might actually put it in place and then the contractors may work somewhere else. It can be done. And I don't think, and for the mere fact that they could do it, they say they can, if they did it, for example, by the time they finish the process, you might find that the contractors are working somewhere. Yeah, for sure, that's given. But in 2 years, when that process is in place, then they won't be able to get work anywhere else. So for me, I don't think we should accept it as a committee to say, they said it's difficult, so they're not going to do it. There's many difficult things. The problems we face in our country are difficult. And if everybody was just to say, well, it's difficult to handle the drug issue, the social ill around drugs and women abuse, so we're not going to try and do anything about it. But I do accept that you're saying that MINMEC is going to look at it, and I think we should record it to say, you know, we are noting the issue as a committee that there's issues around non-performance and abandonment of projects by contractors. This is what we are noting as a committee, and we are recommending that a solution such as blacklisting, with its challenges or with its challenges that it brings in establishing, that MINMEC come back to us with a reasonable and acceptable solution to how they're going to deal with nationwide. Otherwise, it just continues this year. Next year, we'll continue the same conversation. Next year, we'll continue the same conversation. So, and I feel like that should come with a time frame as well, that in the next 6 months, that, you know, MINMEC comes back to us, because it has been a while since we had that conversation, if I remember. But I do feel we need to have a voice. Strongly, just as strongly as Honorable Malimecha has just come through. I don't think it's something we can accept to just say they said it's difficult and MINMEC will come back to us. There needs to be a time frame that they come back to us within, because we understand the impact that this has on citizens and block projects and access to shelter. Thanks, Chair.
No, I think what I was trying to raise is that we've had that decision already. What we need to get is to get MINMEC. I think when we're going to meet, because you'd remember that we've met with the provinces, huge previous PRRR, there is that decision that the non-performance contractors must be blacklisted. Why we have called National Treasury to check how far are they, because
we see this contractor, they are still getting contracts in other provinces. They are working. We understand the system that Treasury is using to blacklist these non-performance contractors. And Treasury, that is what he explained, to say the processes, because it's a legal thing, it takes its own time and all those things. So, and we then said in that meeting that therefore MINMEC must just be creative in terms of, I even suggested that maybe let the province in their MINMEC circulate the list of those contractors. Use it, the bid committees of the department must penalize people to get tenders in those in other provinces by saying that we have this list as a province that of the non-performance contractors which they have not performing in these provinces and all those things, and if the person meet the criteria, because we'll be taken to court that you have not given them the then you use that as one of the reasons. If you have not completed a project in one area, you are not getting to the project without saying that we are blacklisting you, because that process is there, but it's not effective as we wanted ourselves. But just to say that bid committees of the department can use that issue to say that Rosina, you have not finished your project in these areas, and this is what you have. Even in the previous, I think it might be even three conservative PRRRs that we took that decision that non-performance contractors must be blacklisted. That's why we've called Treasury to come and tell us why this thing is not being implemented, why we still see companies that have not performed getting projects in other provinces and blah, blah. So that's why we said the MINMEC must go and look at how they are going to make sure that their system, the MINMEC sitting, would then help them to identify these people and isolate them through the process, the normal process of awarding tenders. Everywhere, if you have not performed, you are not supposed to get a tender unless you give the particular reason and experience, particularly display your capacity to finish those projects within the same year. And you have to convince the bid committees of the department that you are going to finish. it should be like that, even with the other department of which are dealing with the infrastructure in municipalities. But we said it should start with the MINMEC itself to say, let's share information amongst ourselves of the contractor that does not performing and leave the project. And then we use them at the bid committees as the process of National Treasury, as they've explained it. The time you catch the contractor, you might have get another tender. We're agreeing they must be blacklisted, but the process itself, as explained by the Treasury, is taking long. That's why we said MINMEC must go back and look at the intervention that they can make so that they can use their system of the bid committee, because committees, you cannot just give a person a tender if he has not performed. You can then use that to alienate those people in your system as you give other people awarding contractors. The resolution is there, unless you are saying you must repeat it, but it will sound that awkward to repeat the resolution by resolution instead of taking it further to make sure that it gets implemented.
This hand is a new one.
Yes. Come in, Honorable Malamata.
As giving umphako to the Minimec, I want to say let's enrich it by saying Minimec must come to us and say in this province, these are the number of the block projects. On this specific project, what were the reasons? If the reason was contract X, they must tell us what they've done. Because this will also assist to identify, as you are saying. But at the very same time, when you were explaining, I also want to bring the element of saying, where you find that it is the department that contributed in a form of not paying that particular contract, then you circulate the number, the name of this contract throughout the province. And they did somewhere, they are not, they did on basis that they don't have, and they found later that they performed and the department did not come to the party in terms of paying. We are at wrong. They will take us to court. They will sue us. We'll begin to have all those things. But if we go in a form of this empower to say, this is the number of block projects in our province, why X and Y are not finished, and we come around that contracts did not perform and do these things, it's easy to catch them. So I'm just enriching that empower that when they come in, they must be coming with the list of where it's blocked, what caused the block, what is happening now. Thank you.
Agreed. With that, I don't see any other hands. Or the doctor? The hands are still up.
That's okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That is the conclusion of the report. Sabelo, go to that conclusion.
Oh, my apologies, Chair. Can you see, Chair?
Yes. Conclusion, honorable members, anything that you want to put on the... I don't see any end. And then that can I get the mover for the adoption of the report with the amendments that have been made? Doctor?
Chair, I just want to find out when we'll get the final report. I think, yeah, I mean, we can't assume, from experience, we can't assume that everything will be captured accurately, because we've seen it in the committee that it doesn't happen. So I'm wondering or wanting to suggest that before we adopt the report, we see the report and its amendments before we actually, because we can say adopt with amendments and then we'll advise on how then do we deal with it tomorrow when one of us or some of us realize that this was not covered. So I don't know if we can put a time frame on when we can see the final with the included amendments, and then we can accept it comfortably. Or yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe just to get guidance from yourself.
We will not have another time, because the report must be ATC before the Minister of Finance presents. Budget mid-review statement on the 1st and on the 1st of November, we will be meeting next week Wednesday, because from tomorrow to date, even Friday, there's 15
we will not have time to meet before that. But I think what Sabelo must to finish with the amendment is the amendment with the member. We have Friday to 86. Sabelo,
no? No, we don't have we don't have any. We have a report at the end of day today, Chair.
Hey, I'm referring to talking about the ATC. We can ATC it on Friday.
No, I have to send by the Wednesday.
No, but the medium is on the 1st of on the 1st of November. When and it's when.
Okay. So Chair, just to come in the Chair, the first.
What I'm saying, Sabelo, Sabelo.
Okay, no Chair. I'm saying.
Circulate it, then you give members maybe just highlight those amendments that you have made,
okay.
And then circulate it. And then if they're not happy, they'll then write it, and then we have the report. You're supposed to submit it to who?
To
Bandi.
Yes.
But the in terms of the required legislation, that committee has to adopt the report before the tabling of the of the Minister of Finance statement. But I understand that the system of power, the committee section, they want to confirm that the report meets the requirements and blah blah and all things. But we cannot just give a blanket approval. Go and amend it and circulate it. Even if you can send it to Bandi at 12 p.m., still today. So with that note, honorable members, if there is any other thing, if there is nothing that left, I would want to close the meeting. I don't see any.
Can I be clarified, Chair? Are we adopting the report or we wait for session? Because one would be very much progressively happy to say, let's adopt this report as we have been working with the committee. Would there be any? Then the particular point can be raised with Savell before the submission. But in principle, let's agree to adopt the report. We were here to adopt the report, and we have done so much to amend this report. And I think we are at the level where all of us, we are, no one is intending to cheat each other. If there will be some grammatical error and anything, it is welcome to be corrected.
Yeah, I think that's the idea, Honorable Malemago. I was just addressing the issue of ATC, that it must not be ATC without circulation to members. And then give it a quiet that it must be ATC. So, but in principle, let's adopt the report as you proposed.
My hand is up, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Kumalo.
Thanks. Just maybe clarity on my part. So if we adopt and some of the amendments are left out by any chance, would one not have a leg to stand on to say this is not the true reflection of the deliberations when we considered this report, because it would have been on record that we adopted it? Or just clarity, or the process, should that happen? Maybe just to clarity.
I indicated that we would not actually have any other time to have a meeting to come adopt. But Sabelo will circulate the amendment as members propose. I think we have agreed on certain things we have not agreed with them. And then Sabelo will circulate those issues. And then if there is anything that a member picked up that we have agreed is not reflecting, you can call Sabelo and or me as the chair, because I'm responsible now for taking this report to Parliament. Then we then actually to make sure that those issues are dealt with. Meeting has to formally adopt the report with the amendment, because we have amended the report. It captured very well when you say we adopt the report with the amendment that is made.
Thanks, sir, for the clarity. Is Sabelo able to give us more or less approximately what time we should look out for that email? I think just because a lot of us, I mean, I'm sure everybody has a jam-packed day today with by-elections everywhere that we're involved with. But just to get an idea when we can look out for that email so that we can make those calls or have a look at it and be able to make, we need to call you. Thanks.
Sabelo. And then at what time should members expect the amendment?
Okay, so honorable members can expect the report at say, let's say it's 3. It will also be nice if honorable members could, let's say at around 4. We all know that after that members have commented, those who haven't commented, so after that, you will be further process.
Okay, so then, as I'm saying, I'll actually make sure that the report represents the views of the committee to circulate and make amendments. And must see what the amendment came part of the discussion. I think we have been writing up, and then we will then feed them in, and then see the final document, and then keep we ATC it after that. We submit it to binding for the ATCs probably for Thursday or Friday.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. With that, can we didn't get the second amendment.
Hey.
Honorable Sisway.
I second the adoption of the agenda of the report with amendments. But I want to raise a concern.
Yes, proceed.
My concern, Chair, is that we have a leadership in the committee which has got a structure, officials that are supporting us, and which we need to trust in terms of reports of this nature. I think we have made all my proposals very clear under your leadership, Chairperson. I am worried about this foreign mistrust, of not trusting the institution and the committee to address the issues, because it therefore means in all our committee meetings and where we resolved and adopt, we do not trust, and therefore it should be backward and forward. because we don't trust the institution, we don't trust the leadership, we don't trust the management, which is to take us forward. I so wish that this should be seen in the light of being a foreign tendency, which has got a very a strong mistrust in the leadership that is leading this institution and leading this committee. I fully adopt the report and with the amendment, and trust that the leadership will carry along all the issues that you have said. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sufai. Honorable Doctor and Honorable Malemaja, your hands are still up. Honorable Doctor.
No, it's a legacy hand.
Honorable Malemaja. Honorable Malemaja, your hands is up.
It's an old hand, Chair. It's an old hand. I'm waiting to open your open.
Okay. No, no, thank you very much, Honorable Members. With that note, the meeting is adjourned, and the survey will circulate the amendments, and will then execute the report as required by the law to Parliament. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. Long live the Chair. Long live.
Recording stopped.